Now, it's nice to be back with you in all of it again. And thank you, dear Brother Cecil, for those warm, sincere words of welcome. And he spoke about the joy of being present here this evening. And certainly for me it's always joy whenever we gather around the book and open up the Word and look at it together. That's, I suppose, my highest joy whenever occasions like that come. Thank you very much for the invitation to be with you for these nights. Now, we're turning for our reading to the book of the Hebrews, first of all. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And we come in at verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of affliction, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. Now you can see the similarity between what these early Hebrew Christians passed through and what we all pass through ourselves. We can call to remembrance the former days when we were illuminated, when the Lord lit up our hearts and lives and minds and everything, and we saw the light. And we can remember the fight that followed. It wasn't easy to take our stand first for the Lord. And we can remember something about like being a gazing stock in verse 33, just after we were converted. And not only on account of reproaches and afflictions, because we became companions of them that were so used. We joined in with the people of God. So all that is very, very real to us there. Come down to verse 38. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, just verse 2 for 1 Corinthians 13, please. 1 Corinthians 13. The last two verses, please. Verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, already I think it has been announced that I will be speaking to you on the three nights that I have with you on three words: faith, hope, and love. The first night, that is tonight, I will be on faith. Next night, God willing, and love. On hope, and then the last night on love. Now, I'm always struck with those words and that sentence from the lips of the apostle: faith, hope, love. I'm always struck with the order of them, because I think there is deliberate order in them. You notice, first of all, comes faith. And then that's followed with hope. And then that leads on to love. Now, if you go back to your own Christian experience, I think that is how you experienced all three. First of all, when you were converted, there was faith. You trusted Christ. And then out of that trust and faith in Christ was born hope. And you had the hope of eternal life. And you had the blessed hope. And then faith and hope, with that, began to show and well up in your heart and life love. And that is where we are this evening. I remember attending a wedding in the Crescent Church here in Belfast. And the elder, I take it, an elder who was conducting the wedding service that day, took up the three words with the young couple and showed how and illustrated how their marriage was very much after the pattern of these three words, faith, hope, and love. In other words, whenever they met, and after a little while, they began to feel they could trust each other. So faith was born. And then out of that, eventually and gradually, came hope. They felt there was a future for them together. And faith and hope then give place to love. And so the wedding was cemented together in love. So one sees the nature and the beauty of these words, faith, hope, love. Now, before we come to that, and we're coming to the subject of faith tonight, the first thing that I felt I should do is take up those words at the end of Hebrews 10, that prepare us here for Hebrews chapter 11, where we will be in study. In verse 38, we read these words, "Now the just shall live by faith." And I can remember years ago, I was reading Campbell Morgan's lovely little volume on Hebrews 11. It is excellent. And he draws attention in the opening parts of his little volume to that expression, "the just shall live by faith." And he points out that there are four places where that expression is to be found. And they're very pointed and very important. Now, your Bible there with you, turn with me back to the little book of Habakkuk. Little book of Habakkuk. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, we read these words. "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him." That is the soul of the Chaldean here, I take it. "But the just," that is the believers, "in the midst of those times, shall live by faith." Now, that is the first place you find it. And whenever you look at the setting here, the Lord's people were going through dark and difficult days, very dark and difficult. You can see that in chapter 1. The prophet Habakkuk says in verse 2, "O Lord, how long shall I cry unto thee, and thou wilt not hear? Cry unto thee, violence and spoil." And so they were going through days that were dark, when God seemed to be silent and doing nothing about it. And the word of the Lord came through Habakkuk to God's people. And those dark and difficult days when God seemed to be silent, "the just shall live by faith." There's nothing to see. There's nothing that sight can fasten on. There's nothing that you can look at and cheer your heart and say, "that's God." Well, there's only one thing for it, faith. You've got to keep faith, trust. So that is the first place there in Habakkuk 2:4. That is where Paul borrows it from. Come over into the Roman letter, and I'm just being quick on this. The Roman letter chapter 1 and 16:17. And that is the most familiar of quotations here. Romans 1:16-17. "But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now here, it's not the believer living through dark days, but it's the soul coming out of darkness into light, spiritually, through the gospel. The gospel that's the power of God. But how do we live? We never lived until faith entered. And we trusted God as our Savior. And so we lived. And we knew we were alive spiritually. And we knew we would live forever. We lived. But how did we live? By faith. If there hadn't been faith and trust, we'd still have been dead in sins. So that is the second place. Turn with me briefly again into the Galatian letter. And Galatians 3 and 10 and 11. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And faith there is placed in opposition to works, by the works of the law, as you see there, you saw there in verse 10. In other words, two approaches to justification. The one by works, the works of the law. The other, not that way at all, faith, by faith. And so Paul is discarding works, salvation by works of the law. No, he says, the just shall live by faith. The other that we were in was Hebrews 10. And I just put the four together for you now in a moment. But in Hebrews chapter 10, we find that in verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, now the background there to that all is apostasy. You see that in the words, draw back. He's talking about apostasy here. But he says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But he says, the just shall live by faith. And there won't be an apostatizing away from the Lord. There will be that trust and that faith. So the just shall live by faith. This is how I see it outlined. In Habakkuk 2, you have sustaining faith. In dark and difficult and trying times in God's sight. In Romans 1, you have saving faith. The power of God unto salvation. In Galatians 3, you have singular faith. Not of works, just one way, singular, by faith. In Hebrews 10, you have steadfast faith. Through all the days and against all apostasy. So there is faith, sustaining, saving, singular, and steadfast. That's faith. Well, that is only the introduction. I want you to come now to this chapter 11 here. Before we do that, look again at the dark days that we're passing through. He says here, you in verse 33, he says, you experienced a great fight of affliction. That was in verse 32. And there was the danger of apostasy. And there was the danger of the road becoming so hard that some would turn aside and turn back. Now, what does Paul do? How does he combat that? How does he inspire these believers and stir them up and get them going for himself, for God? How does he do it? He takes them back. Right over the history of their forefathers. As right through that chapter 11. And shows them all that their fathers before them passed through. and how they journeyed and battled by faith, and how they met all the eventualities of life by faith. Now he did that in order that he may bring that to bear in them, preventing apostasy and keeping them on steadily with the Lord. That's why I wrote the chapter. Well, that is enough, I think, to get us into the chapter. And what I want to do is take you through it now, just as the Lord helps us, step by step. And remember what he's doing. Young Christians and weak, and with all the dangers and temptations that were upon them, how can I strengthen them and establish them? I'll take them back and show them their forefathers and how they lived and journeyed by faith. Well, we have seven things to come through here, so we must move. First thing that I want, any who may be jotting down a little note or two, first thing that I want is in verse 4. Now, there is the definition of faith in verse 1. I haven't time to go into that. There's the explanation of faith in verse 3. I haven't time to go into that. But now, the first thing that I want with you, number 1, faith worshipping. That's number 1. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, so on and so on. Now, I can see two things, if not more, here with Abel and with Cain. First, there was the approach to God. That's evident. That's basic. Whenever both are approach to God. And Abel here is approaching to God. And how did he approach to God? Through an offering. Through a sacrifice. Through a creature that had been slain. And the blood had been shed. He approached to God through an offering and a sacrifice. And why is it here in this chapter, left by the Spirit of God, to teach all men and women of all ages, everywhere, that this was to be the way of approach to God? And right at the very beginning, with this very first man we have record of here, Abel, approaching to God by way of sacrifice. Well, let us all, we have learned it in measure, but let us never forget it. The only way I can approach, the only way I could approach the night I was saved, the only way Brother Cecil could approach tonight as he opened in prayer. We come to you, O God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and I can never come at any time, and never will be able to come at any time, except through the offering and through the sacrifice. Yes, here was approach. Not only that, here was acceptance, because God said to Cain, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. So, approach and acceptance. Two things standing out there. And so here, right at the very beginning, we have the wrong way of approach, the right way of approach. We have the two ways. If you like, we have the broad way downward, the narrow way upward. And there are the two ways right at the very beginning of history, of world history, of religious history. The two ways. And they run all the way through to this present time. There. So, the first thing I see was Abel here, and his sacrifice approaching to God. Faith worshipping. Second thing I want, come into 5 and 6. And the next thing I want here is faith walking. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. Now, we know the story. We have to go back to Genesis 5 there just to find the actual wording of the walk, where it says there, Enoch walked with God. Now, that is very beautiful. I don't know who else he must have walked with. He must have had a wife because there was a child born, and he must have walked with her. But you can walk with your wife and at the same time still walk with God. And you can walk with your child in your hand, but at the same time you can be walking with God in the secret of your own heart and life and inner experience, walking with him. Well, that walk I need hardly to describe to a gathering like this tonight and all of it, but I drop in the thought. One, it was a lovely walk. I don't think you couldn't just get a lovelier than that, walking with God. And it was a long walk, 300 years. And it was a lonely walk, because we don't read at least of others who were walking at that time. So a man can walk a long walk and a lonely walk, but bless God, a lovely walk. Because he's walking with God. And if I may add another thing, it was a lasting walk. Not where this man actually was concerned, the Lord to come home. But the Lord saw to it that that walk was written about in the Word of God. So it's a lasting walk. It's there in the record. And God has placed it there because he wants you and I just to walk with him. Oh, it's lovely. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. That is a soul walking with God. And we read here in this testimony that he pleased God. And I don't know anything greater that you or I could aim for than that. So there is faith worshipping, and there is faith walking. Now come for third. Come into verse 7. And the next thing I want with you tonight, I have faith working. It says here in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Well, that's happened to us all, didn't it? That's how we were all saved, weren't we? We were warned of God of things not seen as yet. How did he respond? Moved with fear. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That's faith working. We see him building, preparing the ark. Lovely little thing about the man Noah. You remember whenever he was born. If you go back to Genesis 25, there's a lovely little gem there. I don't think we should skip it. Go back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 here. And it says, when Noah was born, Genesis here, and we come to chapter 25, verse 29. And Lamech lived 182 years, verse 28, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us. I think that's lovely. And I'm sure there's been a host of parents, and when that child was born, they said the same thing to themselves. This same shall comfort us. But alas, not every child that born was a comfort. Quite often a heartbreak. Makes you ask yourself, was I a comfort to my parents, or am I, if they're still living, a comfort to them? Because I'm sure that the same thought in mind. But Noah was a comfort to his parents, if ever there was a man. That's the man. I want you to see the move here. Next. It says he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I remember we were out, I was out with Tom Lewis in Vietnam, 1997. I posed the question to a group of pastors, church leaders, and Bible class teaching. What was it brought you to Christ? What drew you? Was it love drew, or was it fear drove? Were you drawn or were you driven? I expected them all, the majority of them, to say they were driven by fear. Fear of God. To my surprise, no. The majority said they were drawn by love. I don't know about you tonight. I don't know what brought you to the Lord. Maybe you were driven. Maybe you were drawn. Maybe I could say you were both driven and drawn. Because we're driven by a sense of need. And we're drawn by the sense that we know the Lord alone can meet it. Driven and drawn. Well, I suppose that's how we're all going home to heaven, both driven and drawn. But here was the man, here was the move. Move by faith. And the message I merely touch on, our preacher of righteousness. Why? Because unrighteousness was the whole standard and state of the age and the day he was in. The earth was full of violence and spoil, and Noah lifted up the standard of righteousness. But not only the man, the move, the message here, the thing that I want particularly was the motive. What moved him here to build this ark? Drawn by love. I don't know if you do tonight. I don't know what brought you to the Lord. Maybe you were driven. Maybe you were drawn. Maybe I could say you were both driven and drawn. Because we're driven by a sense of need, and we're drawn by the sense that we know the Lord alone can meet it. Driven and drawn. Well, I suppose that's how we're all going home to heaven, both driven and drawn. But here was the man, here was the move. Move by faith. And the message I merely touch on, our preacher of righteousness. Why? Because unrighteousness was the whole standard and state of the age and the day he was in. The earth was full of violence and spoil, and Noah lifted up the standard of righteousness. But not only the man, the move, the message here, the thing that I want particularly was the motive. What moved him here to build this ark? It says, to the saving of his household. So here I see a man working with one end in view, household salvation. And he labored for 120 years to have household salvation. I don't know how long you've been laboring for the same. But whatever it costs, no matter how long it takes, I could never see his giving up working. We cannot leave them lost and alone. We want them over there. And so I see faith working here. Household salvation. That's what he had in view. Come with me for another thing here. And this is the larger stretch of the chapter, but you'll see why and how I've included it. And the fourth thing that I want is faith waiting. waiting. You'll find that in 8 to 22. Now, you'll notice this in a Maryland. I studied and looked at it for a long while before I caught it. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, when called to go out into a place he should have to receive for inheritance, went out, not knowing whither he went. So, what was he? Faith, Abraham was expecting, anticipating something here. And then in verse 20, by faith Isaac, we read a lot about Abraham, the lone part. Then Isaac blessed Jacob concerning things to come. Mark that. That's the same of Abraham. It was things to come that he was waiting and sojourning for there. A city and so on we read about which have foundations. That's what he was looking for. And then when you come into verse 20, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both sons of Joseph, leaning upon the staff. And so he's thinking about the future of the boys. 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel out of Egypt. That's future. So Abraham was anticipating the future. Isaac was anticipating the future. Jacob was anticipating the future. Joseph was anticipating the future. What's all that? That's faith waiting. Faith waiting. Anticipating the future. Well, that's what faith does. That's what faith allows you to do. And it's the only thing would allow you to anticipate the future. Faith anticipating the future. Well, I want you to see another lovely little champion. Look at verse 13 with me. It says, these all died in faith. Now, that's bound to include Abraham, verse 8, and Sarah. She's mentioned in there as well. But using the word all seems to take in more. And I think it would take in Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. These all died in faith, not having received. Do you ever see that happening today? Well, in some sense, sad to say we do. I don't know your position. I don't know whether you've loved ones not saved. Very likely you have loved ones not saved. I trust and pray that you'll see them gathered in while you're still alive and here. But if not, to use the words from the book of Daniel, but if not, what then? These all died in faith. And you may have to do the same. Will it need you here to see it's done? Not at all. God's faithful. And God will see it. And I like to think this, that it's something that will give the child of God an easy pillow at the end of the road, even if they haven't seen household salvation. That at least they can die in faith. Well, Mueller did that, didn't he? Prayed for two men for a lifetime. That man of prayer, a man of mighty faith. Didn't see it, but he died in faith. And one of those men was saved at his funeral, just after the death and the funeral came. He was saved. But Mueller died in faith. And you may have to do the same. So here we are, faith waiting. These were all waiting for things to come. I want you to come now to 23:31 of the chapter. And the next that I want here is faith wandering. I take that word, that's a scriptural one here. Verse 23:31, right through here, is the whole journeying of the children of Israel, the whole matter of it, right through from 23 to 31. By faith Moses, 23, when he was born. And so here's the one who was to lead their journeyings, born. Let me just summarize it here. In verse 23, right through there to 27, 28, you have faith leaving. We see them leaving Egypt. By faith he forsook Egypt, 27. In verse 29, we see them crossing by faith the Red Sea. In verse 30, we see them entering by faith the walls of Jericho fell flat, right on through to 31. So we see them leaving and crossing and entering. And that includes the whole 40 years there in the wilderness. You remember how it says they wandered. I'm always struck with that. There's all the difference between marching and wandering. When they set out from Egypt, never God's intention they would wander. God's intention was they would march right for the promised land. But then you remember the disobedience, Kadesh Barnea, was that crucial point in their life when they turned back and wandered. And they left on marching and began wandering for 40 years. My dear child of God, you could come to a Kadesh Barnea. Crucial crossroads. Failure to go through with God. You could stop marching and begin wandering. Maybe wandering for years. Oh, I pray, God, as I stand in this pulpit, that it'll never happen. I don't want to start wandering. Lord, keep me marching. But here it is. We've got to be true to the text. We're faith wandering. Two more things. Come down to 32 here. And the next thing that I want now, right through 32 to the end, chapter 30, verse 38. And the next thing I want here is faith warring. Faith warring. What does it say here in verse 32? And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms. That's faith war. Yes, war they did. And subdue they did. A little exercise for you would be to take those characters one by one and go back over to the recorded history in the Old Testament and see who it all was they subdued. I remember looking at part of it. Gideon, he's mentioned, he subdued the Midianites. Barak is there, he subdued the Canaanites. Samson's there, he subdued the Philistines. Jephthah is there, he subdued the Ammonites. By faith, they subdued. By faith. Oh, you say, preacher. Is that so? Just faith. Yeah? By faith. I may mention again, when I was back from Vietnam 1997, and we had a board meeting with B International, and there was the men all gathered round. We were in one of our meetings, monthly meeting. And I said, brethren, I just came back conscious of the suppression there in Vietnam of that pastor sitting in the chair beside me who had been 7 years in prison. And a lot of those men a lot of those men have all been in prison. one particular who was lying in prison at that very hour. We knew well about it. And I thought of communism and the curse and the suppression of it. I came back to that board and I said, brethren, I read these words, who through faith subdued kingdoms. That's our task. Gathered here today at this board meeting to subdue kingdoms for God. To subdue communism for God. Well, that is faith warring. We have one more thing. You notice how that chapter ends there. It says in verse 39, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Well, was it the promised land, the promised Messiah, whatever? God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect or complete. Who is the they? They of the Old Testament. All those he's been going over in chapter 11. Who's the us? Paul, the immediate Hebrew believers, and all New Testament believers. They, the Old Testament, not complete without us, the New Testament. Well, of course, we know, we understand the sense of that. And that is perfectly so. I was looking up Matthew Poole's commentary. The more I look him up, the more I'm go find myself going to him. And here's just how we explain God having provided some better thing for us. They had the type. We had the truth. They had the promise. We had the possession. They had the hope. We had the happening. They, without us, not complete at all. Not perfect. Final thing. Chapter 12, 1. 2. That's 1, 2. And the last thing, faith witnessing. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, wherefore, that means he's joined on to the chapter gone before. So then the cloud of witnesses are all those believers of faith through that chapter there, and we are compassed about. In other words, it's the idea of an arena and all gathered around a Roman amphitheatre and all looking down. Now, I'm not taking it literally. I know some who do. But their lives, the way they went before, and he's talking to young, weak, trembling, feeble Hebrew Christian. Look, he says, they're all looking down on us. How we're running. I'm not suggesting, he's saying literally, but all that they ever were is there, as if they were. And wherefore, he says, because of that, let us run with patience the race set before us. Looking unto Jesus. Faith, worshipping, walking, working, waiting, wandering, warring and witnessing. Faith, hope, love. I finish. My time has gone. I want you to just look at the opening verse and an opening, closing verse. In verse 2 it says, by it, that is by faith, the elders obtained a good report. I know there are many ways of taking and translating this, and I know the authorities who do it, but just let us take it as it said. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Go on to 39. These all having obtained a good report. See how it begins? Begins with a good report, ends with a good report. Now, I don't know how you got on at school. I don't know how you came home at end of term. And whether you come home with a good report or not, I don't know. But I would like to think when the end of term is ended here, I would have a good report. And receive a good report. A good report from my brothers, my sisters in Christ, that I've lived with and journeyed with by faith. But a good report when I get up there and find a good report waiting me. Tell me, how did they get a good report? It was faith. Gave it to them. By faith, they obtained a good report. That's what will give you a good report too. Faith. If you can trust Him and you can keep on trusting, days of apostasy and darkness and distress, simply say, Jesus, I am trusting only Thee. Faith! God willing, next week.